Tom Robb Smith's first thriller, Child 44, caused consternation for some when it was longlisted for the Man Booker Prize in 2008. His latest novel, The Farm, is narrated by a young man called Daniel, who, like the author, has an English father and a Swedish mother. The author of The Farm, Tom Robb Smith, joins me now from London. Maybe first of all, Tom, you would tell me about the sort of life that your character Daniel has in London as we meet him at the beginning of the novel.
I think he has quite an ordinary life in many ways. He's slightly lost in his sort of mid-20s, not quite sure what to do. He's found he's drifted into things. He's not particularly rich, but he's not struggling in a sense. He's someone who's never really grown up. He's never really gone through the fire of something incredibly traumatic. And so in a sense, he leads quite a comfortable life, partly because he's quite at ease with many things.
And how would you describe the relationship he has with his parents?
Well, he's someone who's never scrutinized his parents, really. They've always provided for him. They've given him love, and they've given him a great deal of their time, obviously. He's never lacked for anything. And he's never probed too deeply into the facade they've presented, which is that everything is fine. And so when he's confronted with the complete collapse of that facade, he's totally unprepared, really, to delve into the darkness that lies behind it.
Although he himself is guilty of a little bit of facade putting up himself, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. I mean, he's in a sense, he's lied about his sexuality, or rather, he's never told the truth about it. It's a slight difference, I guess. But that's partly because I think he has an aversion to conflict. He's had such a comfortable life. He's never really struggled with things. He's never really struggled with homophobia. He's never really struggled with any sort of real difficulties, that he sort of thinks, well, what's the point of needlessly creating one? My parents and I have the kind of relationship. There's a gap in the knowledge, but that's fine. We can sort of carry on like this.
His parents play a very large role in the novel. And in fact, I realise, as I said, Daniel narrates it. Yes, he does, but his mother also narrates large amounts of the novel in some ways because of the structure of the book. He gets a phone call, Daniel does, in the opening chapter from his father, and it sets up difficulties for him regarding his loyalties between his parents. What happens that causes him these difficulties?
Well, Daniel gets a call from his father. His parents have retired. They've retired to a small farm in Sweden. He gets a call from his father out of the blue saying that his mother is very sick. She has suffered a psychosis, and he has to fly out to Sweden immediately to see her. And so he starts setting about booking a flight to Sweden. And before he can take that flight, he gets a call from his dad saying his mum has disappeared, doesn't know where she is. She's convinced the doctor she's not mad. And so he thinks he's going to have to fly out to Sweden, join his dad in a search for her. When he gets a call from his mum, and she's actually sounding perfectly lucid, and she says, "Everything your father has told you is a lie. I'm flying to London. Your dad is caught up in a criminal conspiracy, and he's using the allegations of insanity to discredit me." So suddenly, Daniel is caught between his father and his mother. He doesn't know who to believe, and everything he presumed, which was that his dad was telling the truth, is suddenly thrown into question. Anyway, he decides to wait, rips up his ticket to Sweden, decides to wait at Heathrow. His mum arrives, and she seems as he remembers her. I mean, she's lucid, she's coherent, and she says to him, "Take me to your apartment. I'm going to tell you what really happened in Sweden." And he goes back to, he takes his mother back to his apartment. And the book is essentially these two different narratives. It's the narrative of the son listening to his mother, and of the mother telling the son what has taken place in this farm over the summer. This terrible conspiracy of betrayal and darkness, and the son has to decide whether he believes the mother or whether he believes the father.
And we can't go too much into what that particular subject is, or we start giving away way too much of the plot of The Farm. But one aspect of it that you might expand on for me, Tom, is its setting in rural Sweden. The fact that Daniel's parents are over there, and his mother, as I said, is Swedish, and his father English, like your own parents. What is your own relationship with rural Sweden? Did you have much of a connection with it growing up?
I have. My connection to Sweden, in the sense my mother is Swedish, and I spent a great deal of time in Sweden as a child. I was lucky. I studied in England But during my summer holidays, I would spend a lot of time in Sweden, and so I had both the sort of rural and city life. But the connection is deeper than just the fact that I happened to spend some time there. I mean, I experienced that phone call. I heard my dad ring me, and my dad tell me my mum was sick, and I also then got the call from my mum, and I also went to the airport, and I brought my mum back to my apartment, and I experienced that setup. So the novel is taking a real experience of mine, and then the story that she tells and the characters in it are all fictional, but that premise that I summarized just now actually happened to me. So it's rooted both in the fact that I know that landscape very well, but also that setup is something I experienced.
So when you take a real-life incident like that and you start to fictionalize it, does the line between fact and fiction become very blurred for you, or are you very clear on what has been invented and what is real?
Well, I'm very clear. I think for you play something of a game with the reader, which is to say, I think all books, and I mean this, even the most sort of fantastical science fiction, wants you to believe it's real. Obviously, you're aware it's a book, you're holding it in your hand, but when you're reading it, you really want to feel, I'm in this world, I'm convinced by what's happening. And I think this book. More, I mean, I was very conscious that I really wanted you to pick it up and think, this could happen. What if this happened to me? What if I got that call from my parents? Who would I believe? And so it was very important when I created the thriller, that it never spill over into a territory where you're clearly aware that this is, perhaps a very enjoyable or very entertaining thriller, but you know, it's clearly not something that could have happened. I really wanted you to feel at every stage that it was real. I mean, when I spoke to my parents about writing it, I think they were very confused, like in the sense that they were like, you know, what could the story possibly be? And I said, well, you don't have to worry, I'm going to make it all up. It's just the premise. And so when they read it, they were like, oh, we get it. This is all, none of these people are real. None of these people in Sweden are real. You know, you've invented this story. But I tried to root it so that when you're reading, you don't think that somehow this is some break from reality. So you know, it is a big question when you come to writing the book, a big question of the book is how do you make every element feel real, even when you're fictionalizing it?
And that aspect of Daniel's character that I mentioned, that he has not told his parents about his own homosexuality, was that an issue for you in a similar fashion to Daniel?
It was an issue for me, but in a very different way to Daniel. I mean, my parents are very different from the parents in the book, in the sense that we've always shared everything for better or for worse, and it had always been quite a sort of fiery household. It was very, you know, there's the whole classic. I mean, the parents in the book are this sort of classic British reserve where you don't tell your children any of your problems, and so Daniel was totally sheltered. But my parents were the opposite; they sort of told me everything. And I realized when I came to write the book that actually my character, i.e. me, would have been a very bad character in the book because I didn't really go on the same journey. I didn't really have the same shelteredness that I wanted Daniel to have. And so I wanted to construct someone who was really seeing his parents in a completely different light for the first time. I thought it was a much better story. And so that's, you know, that's an example of looking at the real events and thinking that just doesn't really work. There are other elements such as I knew the farm, the real farm that it's based on very well. I'd been there many times. I'd spent weeks there with my parents. So when my mum was talking to me about the real events, it was all shorthand. It was all, you know, the guy who lives down the road, you know, that field, you know, so that would never have worked because clearly the reader doesn't have any of that information. And so you wanted someone who hadn't been to the farm. And who wouldn't have visited their parents? I mean, someone who must have drifted from them in some way, someone who was estranged on some level, or someone who lacked a kind of curiosity. So clearly, then you have to start fictionalizing it.
You bring both trolls and elks into the story in different ways. Maybe the trolls, first of all, and these are not the internet variety, these are the ones with warts on their face that we get in fairy stories. Did they play a role in your childhood in the way that they do in Daniel's childhood?
Well, again, they play a very important way in my childhood and in a very different way to the one with Daniel. I mean, the interesting thing about the troll legends is from an outside point of view. And, you know, this is interesting about being half Swedish, half English, is you're kind of an outsider in both countries. And so you're always looking at things slightly removed. And the troll legends are, from an English point of view, trolls just seem a kind of comical. They have a kind of, I don't know, a kind of lightness about them. But actually, when you look at the stories, there's this huge range of troll stories. I mean, some of them are sort of mischievous trolls who play tricks on people, but some of them are very dark characters. Some of them are very scary characters. And it's very interesting to me how we give children these legends that are wrapped up in a sense as a kind of fun. You know, often they'll have animated, you know, they'll have an animated version on TV, or in books they'll have a sort of little diagram, but when you read the story there's tremendous darkness and there's this interest, and I wonder what that was about. And it becomes very important in the book, that the stories of trolls and why the mother is reading these troll stories to Daniel, and that didn't quite have the same element in my own life, but it was certainly something that I've thought about for many times. And it just happens that this whole book is in a sense a mother telling her son a story. And I realized that one of the reasons I wanted to be a writer is because when I was a child there was nothing I loved more than being told stories. But even before I came across stories as text, you know, our first experience of stories tends to be people telling you a story. And I realized that night when my mum was in my apartment telling me this very gripping, very scary story that she was recounting her events of what happened in Sweden. I realized this is the first time my mom had told me a story since I was a child. And it was interesting as an experience to go back, you know, 15 years.
The Farm by Tom Robb Smith is published by Simon & Schuster.